we've been going through a series just really looking at identity and worth. Who are we in Christ? And it's been an exciting journey just wrestling through some of these things. And I'm taking us somewhere, I promise. And tonight we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12. So if you can turn this along, Romans chapter 12. Now last week, over the last 2 weeks, well, the first week we started the series, we spoke about who are we in Christ. And we looked at Ephesians and kind of highlighted the fact that we are adopted. And what it meant to be adopted. That we are children of the Most High God. And that's how incredible God is. And His grace and glory is. We moved on to last week about talking about how God's grace is sufficient for us. Is that not only are we children of the Most High God, but God is there with us. God has given us so much. We are blessed people because of it. But I don't know if you've ever struggled with this. We hear a little bit about what God has called us, and we read Scripture, and we start to see this list of names that God has given us, and He calls us. And what happens is we start to wrestle with that. And then we hear about God's grace. It wasn't that we've achieved it, but simply the fact that in what God has done, that it was only in Him that we've got this. And we go, great, that's incredible. God's grace, man, God is all powerful. God is indescribable. But it seems to kind of not have an impact in our lives. We pause there. Sometimes we pause with it and we go, God, you're amazing, but this is who I am. And we start to wrestle with this and we struggle within. And so tonight I wanted to look at the renewing of our minds. Because if we want to know our worth and identity, we often have to kind of renew our minds. Now, I don't know if you've ever been like this. I'm a deep thinker. I overanalyze things all the time. At any given point, I've got about 7 voices in my head. And the only way I've been able to deal with these voices is do what they say. Yeah. And we wrestle in our minds and so much goes on. You know, God, you're so great. You're so worthy. This is what you've done for me. But I can't but this. But this has taken place. And we struggle with that. And so the mind is a powerful thing. And it is incredible and it has an impact in our lives. In fact, often we don't talk about in sermons, we often don't talk about the mind. We always deal with the heart. Never really the mind. And tonight I want to flip it around because we often say from the heart it affects the mind. But we'll see the text as well as the mind has got such an impact on the heart. And so we're going to look at the mind. Now, I just want to do a quick poll here. Those who believe in telekinesis, can you please raise my hand? All right, just wanted to see. Okay. Henry Ford says this. He says, thinking is the hardest work in the world, which is probably why so few engage in it. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of us. Now I want to unpack this verse a little bit and then really get to the direction we're going. But we see this, Paul writes the words here, I urge you. The urge here is kind of not like, hey, you do it, like nudge here. But it's like, you've got to do this. You know when you've tried something and it's so amazing, you're like, oh man, you're missing out here. You know, you've got to be part of this. That's the importance of what Paul is saying. It's that urgency that he's going, Christians, get hold of this. Embrace this. Grab hold of this. You've got to do this. And so he highlights it. He uses the words, in view of God's mercy. I love this with the words of view, in view of God's mercy. What is God's mercy? Well, we look at the therefore, we look at the past number of chapters, past 11 chapters, And we see the cross is central to what Paul is writing. In view of God's mercy, when we deserve punishment, when Christ took our place, in view of that, and in view of God's mercy, it's kind of this perspective in view. It's central in this. It's getting like prime seats at a concert. In view of all of it. I can see it. I'm central with it. It's there. It's revealed. It's not cropped, you know, hiding in like the kind of budget seats where you can only like see the concert at half an angle. We can see all that Christ has done. In view of that, we are then called to be a living sacrifice. With the cross in front of us, having seen all that God has done, for He so loved the world that He stepped down from heaven, that He made a plan before creation for us. And so in Paul's urgency here, I urge you, we're not doing it because we're going to the cross. We're doing it because of the cross. So as Christians, we tend to sometimes put the cross behind us. We forget that. It is central to our lives. That's what we've got to remember. In view of that, God, I want to please You. I want to be a holy and pleasing sacrifice because of what You've done. In view of that. Isn't it incredible? When I heard this verse in Sunday school, it scared me a little bit. All right. One, I thought God was calling me to missions because we always pictured missionaries going off like as a sacrifice, human sacrifice. And absolute panic, and you focus on the sacrifice. Whoa, Lord, what are You saying here? But as incredible as that we get to offer ourselves for God's use, is that God wants to use us. God wants to do things through us because of the cross. How incredible is that? That we get to be used by Him. And so it highlights this living sacrifice. Then Paul goes into verse 2, and he says here, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. This is where we're going tonight. So he gives a negative and a positive. The negative has been conformed by the patterns of this world. The positive, by the renewing of your mind. And this conformed to the patterns of this world. Do not be conformed to this. The expression here in the translation is being squeezed into a mold. So it's like almost trying to put on the jeans that you wore 2 years ago. That kind of squeezing, trying to fit in. Okay, it doesn't quite work. I've had too much Nando's over the course of 2 years. It's that trying to shape. Something's been pushed in. What in this world have we been squeezed in? Well, let me ask you this way. Because the second basis is he deals with the mind. What's your thoughts like? If we had to sit today and have a machine so we can analyze what you're thinking, what would happen? What would come out? What do you daydream? What catches your attention? Friends and I played a game once, and we kind of weren't listening to the sermon, I promise. It only happened once that Sunday. We played a game as, what do you think that person is thinking during the sermon? And it was a lot of fun because you watched the body language. You watched the nodding of the heads. I mean, the meditating on what was said. The most common comment, what do you think that person's thinking? But going on, what do we think? What's catching us? See, what happens is he turns around now and saying that if we are offering our bodies as living sacrifice, it's a form of worship. So we do this as part of a worship. And what happens is our mind often has an impact in worship, and I'll deal with that just now. But it has an impact in this. What makes me say that? Well, often our thoughts are two things. Is one, our minds are about a worship for God. I'm looking to please God. Or it's a worship of self. That's often what takes place in our minds. natural fall to is a worship of ourselves. That's why there's always a wrestle that takes place. What does the patterns of this world say? Well, it's about me. Me first. We live in a broken world that is pushed away. Don't you want to be like God? So then eat this. And I'm more important. I need this. And in creeps this. And Paul is saying, don't be forced into this. If you think about the things that media shares, the things that entertain us, the things that have kind of captured us in our minds. I've got to have this, and my image has got to be this. I've got to wear this. I've got to do this. I've got to have this. I've just got to have a little bit more. I've got to, on the things that try to fit us in. And we start to look for our glory versus the glory of God that comes in. And so Paul's urging this and saying, don't be squeezed into this mold. Don't be forced into this. He's not saying that we're not to be part of the world. We're called to be different to the world. We're called to display the glory of God. That's what we're called to. But what has crept in, particularly in our thoughts? Why do I say this with our minds? Well, I want to look in Romans chapter 1, just to head that way a little bit, and talk about the importance of the mind, because we don't often see this verse this way, is that in order to become a living sacrifice, how do we do that? It's also by the renewing of our minds. It's a key central part of the act of worship. Well, let me show you a world's pattern, a mindset that has moved away from God. What takes place in this? Romans chapter 1 verse 21 says this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God or gave thanks to Him. But in their thinking they became fertile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and they engaged the glory of immortal God for the images made to look like a mortal human, being of birds and animals and reptiles. And therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their heart, to sexual immorality, and to the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. What a morbid verse. Isn't that miserable? But don't you see the patterns here? Firstly, it starts with a foolish mind. Moves from a foolish mind to a darkened heart. And from a darkened heart, it moves to false worship. From false worship, it moves to sinful desires. From sinful desires, it moves to sinful behavior. Where does it start? Well, it starts in my mind, where I start to entertain things. Where things start to capture my attention instead of focusing on the full view of God's mercy. And I start to grab hold of that and I let it captivate me. And Paul's writing here as foolish hearts, foolish minds. And it grabs hold of me and I entertain that. And because I entertain that, that has an influence on me. And it has an influence on my heart. So it becomes my focus. And when my mind is following this and my heart is following this, what am I doing? I'm turning away from the Lord. My worship is affected. Have you ever struggled sometimes in your spiritual journey, in your walk with the Lord? God, I'm not aware of your presence anymore. God, I'm struggling with my quiet times. God, I just feel like everything is just pushing uphill. Sometimes the biggest problem has started with our minds first. And it's captured our hearts. And it's moved away from Him. And what happens is when we start moving away from Him, the sinful desires come in. It's moved away from just being thoughts or foolishness. But it's become the very thing that consumes us. You know that desire that you have? That craving? And then it gives in to sinful behavior. Actually getting involved in there.
Paul writes in Ephesians 4, verse 17 and 18, says, I tell you this and I insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in their futility of thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. It's nice to see that taking place. So how do we work and how do we change our mind? Well, how do we get away from a mind that focuses on me to a mind that focuses on God? That's worship. Because this has got a bigger impact for us. Well, I want to look at three areas that we can renew our minds in. And there it goes. The first area, how we renew our mind, is to keep Christ in the center of our thoughts. To keep Christ as the center of our thoughts. Rolf Emerson says this, be aware of what you set your mind on, because surely will become. So often what I let entertain here comes here. You've heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. What am I letting fill my head? What's catching there? What's got my attention? And what am I letting sink to my heart? And what's got an influence on my character? What's coming out in this? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15 and 16 says this, the person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How incredible is this verse? That we have the mind of Christ. God isn't just talking about changing our hearts, but he talks about giving us his mind. Now that would be incredible for exams. Don't you agree? But what it's saying here is it's so often when we read this verse and we think by the renewal of our minds, we think of a moral list replacing an immoral list. God, I want to correct this. I want to change this. But it's not that. It's the fact that God wants to be so centered of all that we do that it has such an impact on what we do. Let me explain this a little bit better. Happy wife, a happy life. In all my decisions as a husband, I need to consider Sarah. Sometimes I get that absolutely wrong. Okay, often I get that absolutely wrong. But when I'm deciding things, I want to do things for her. So when I go and go to the shops and I want to spoil her, and often I'm thinking, I remember that conversation she had. And I remember she likes this and she wants this and I remember that. And we're making decisions as a family. What would be best for her? Why? I'm putting her central in some of those decisions. What would happen if we put Christ central in some of our decisions? That would shift from the patterns of this world, wouldn't it? Instead of having a mindset at work going, I need to be best and it doesn't matter who I step on. Well, God, how am I honoring you this in what I'm doing? In my schoolwork, instead of just trying to survive and get through and sleep on my books, okay, it doesn't work. It just gives you an uncomfortable sleep. And instead of doing that, saying, God, you know, how am I being a good steward for you? How am I honoring you in what you've given before me, the task of God? God, in what I'm watching, how am I honoring you? How are you being glorified? How are you central in this? What are we doing? So it should change. We need to keep Christ in the center of our thoughts. David Platt says this, where Christ is the center of our thinking, we are continuously beholding his glory in front of us. I'll say that again. Where Christ is the center of our thinking, we are constantly beholding his glory in front of us. Looking for him. Being part of that. That's incredible. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 to 5 says this, for when we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On contrary, We have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension with that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, get this, we take captive every thought we make it obedient to Christ. It doesn't say every thought about the church, every thought about my quiet time, every spiritual thought. It's about every thought we take captive for the obedience of Christ. So what are you thinking about right now? What are you daydreaming about? What's got hold of you? Is it trying to fit you into a mold? Or is it about displaying the glory of God? And when you think about displaying the glory of God, think of that sunset. Think of how creation so often just echoes the glory of God. Don't you get those wow moments? Wow, God, look at that. That's what we're called to do. We're His creation, made to glorify Him. So how's our thoughts? So how do we renew our minds? Well, keep Christ at the center of our thoughts. And secondly, humbly submit to the Holy Spirit. Humbly submit to the Holy Spirit. See, the incredible thing here is it's not alone. We're not alone in this. Paul's not saying, hey, get it right and let me know how's it going. Yeah, let me know when you have achieved this. But he kind of focuses here is if God is doing the transforming in us. In fact, this word here, transformed, is the only other time really used is at transfiguration. In Matthew chapter 17. We see that taking place. And this is the same word from that transfiguration. Is that God is at work in us to do something incredible. Where's it starting? Starting with the mind, the heart. And it's going to have an impact for His glory. Made something beautiful in us. And so it comes from the Spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this, and we all who are with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. It's continuous. It's happening. It's process. It's in us. Which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So God wants to do, and we need to just lay our bodies as a living sacrifice, saying, God, I need you to help me with these thoughts. God, I need you to help me put you back in center in this. God, I need you to renew. And you know what? The words here is a continuously, it's a daily, it's not a once-off event that's used by the renewing of your mind. It's a not once reboot. But are continuously doing this. But it's the Holy Spirit. So we humbly submit ourselves to Him. I need you. I need to guard my thoughts. I need you to guide me what's going on. And I want to go a little bit off on the sideline because we're talking also about worth here. Some of the things that captivate our thoughts is sometimes we lose about what God has done in our life. We lose focus on who we are in Him. And we mess up. We get there and we get wrong and we mess up. And we get to that place where we're like, God, I just can't keep coming back to you. God, I can't do this. And these are the thoughts that come in our minds. The incredible grace that's before us. I love how these two verses are kind of packed between God's mercy and God's grace. That's in there. And God's grace is there, and yet our minds are there, and we're thinking, God, you can't do this. And we start to make God smaller. But we humbly submit ourselves to Him. God, I need you. Your grace goes way beyond my description. We also, I want to share this, is and so often you've had things spoken over your life too. I don't know if you've ever had impact. Teachers have got incredible impacts in your lives. I had one teacher that told me once that I was great at accountancy. And I was going to become a chartered accountant. That was it. That's where I was going. Until God had a better plan and decided to take me up on a prayer. I said, God, I'll be anything but a pastor. But that one little word has had an impact. I've had negative words that have also spoken over my life. And you know what? Certain characteristics have changed. Let's move from here to here. And so we're saying, God, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about my identity, but it's about your glory. I want to see you glorified through my life. But there's things that have come in. There's things where I've messed up. There's things that I just struggle in. There's things that have captivated me and caught me, and I seem to be ensnared in this. I need you. God, right now, can you renew my mind? This is the promise. By the renewing of mind, He does it. He helps us to being central because He brings that transformation in our lives. As believers, it should be happening. And so we just entrust in Him. So tonight, no matter what you've heard, no matter what's caught you, no matter what are the negative things that are coming in, we can keep just going and saying, God, help me. Help me not to be captivated by those images. Help me never to be captivated by that game, that hooked on that game because I've become that character. Help me not to be caught in this identity of what I do because that's where I'm at and that's where I think is my only worth. Help me in this. Help me to get back to the place I need to be. And that is worshiping you for your glory. So humbly submit to the Holy Spirit. Renewing of our minds, keep Christ in the center of our thoughts. Humbly submit to the Holy Spirit. And lastly, study God's Word. Study God's Word. D.L. Moody says this, that scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. If God is transforming in us, we need to be meditating on what He is saying. See, it says here, by the renewing of our minds, then we can know God's will, His good will for us. How do we know God's will? God's revealed His will for us. We need to fill our minds with His scriptures daily, implanting it in us, writing it in our minds and in our hearts, keeping it in there. In fact, Hebrews 8 verse 10 says this, "This is the covenant I will establish for my people of Israel. After a time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people." Spend time in God's Word. You having struggle with what's captivating your thoughts? Dive into His Word. You're struggling with your identity and worth and knowing who you are? Dive into God's Word because look and see what the Creator is saying about you. Spend time with Him. So key. Want to get your act of worship right again? Spend time in the Word. So we can do this. And God is involved in this. And it's so important that we get our minds right. Because that's the first point of turning us away from Him. So guard those minds. I want to end off with this. Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whenever things are honest and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. So we're told. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. I thank you that you call us to be a living sacrifice, meaning you want to use us for your glory. Lord, you didn't just die for us. Didn't just leave us and say, all the best, let me know. But you choose to use us for your kingdom. And Lord, we see the world is pushing us to have this, a certain image, a certain identity, to be a certain person. And we wrestle in our mind and it shifts us from you. It catches us. It snares us sometimes. It gives us false hope. Gives us false comfort. Absolute false worship. Lord, help us to renew our minds so that we can become a living sacrifice for you. That we can be used for your glory. That we can see your kingdom come. that, Lord, you choose to use us. Thank you. Lord, I pray. I pray particularly for the words that have been spoken over people that has had such an impact on character. Lord, those words may not be from you. I too pray that you would just restore and renew. That we would hear who we are in you. Not for our glory, but for your glory. Because we're yours. We belong to you. Lord, I pray for those that are hooked on things. That has become the adrenaline and the addiction. Whether it's in the looks, in the way I do things. Lord, I just pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would release them. That you would take captive their minds. And Lord, I too pray that in all we do, we would think through you, about you. And we would be doing it for your glory. We'd be asking and saying, Lord, how does this please you? God, how do you get honored through this? Help us to do that. To put you central in our minds. Even when it's things we don't want to do. That we would be a good steward in that. Looking for your glory in the toughest work situation. In the toughest situation, circumstance. And in our trials, even keeping you central there. So we pray this in your precious name. Amen.